and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Maisie Adam, welcome to Home Time. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm very well, thank you.
Hey,
very
it's good. A pleasure. You are only the third guest who has ever turned up on their own.
Stop it.
No,
really?
No, I'm not joking. Not joking, no.
What, everyone else has had big entourage?
Yeah. Everyone else has chosen to have an entourage, but you are in the company of the two previous beforehand, James May and David Tennant.
Really?
Yeah, both rocked up on their own like you.
See, woman of the people. Maybe we could just be each other's entourage. I'll be James May and David Tennant's entourage, and they can just swap in a shift for me.
Next time they're in, I'll let them know.
Yeah, do, and we can have this little shift. We could get a rota going.
Woman of the people, but personally selected by Robert Smith. It says on the lineup.
Oh.
It says personally selected. Robert has personally selected an unbeatable lineup. So does that mean you get an actual phone call from Robert Smith off of The Cure?
I honestly got an actual email, and I had to... It came through my agent, but they just, like, copied and pasted it below. And I said, I had to genuinely email back and went, is this actual Robert? Because I think the first line was like, hello, Robert here, just wondering if Maisie Adam would be available for this gig. And I was like, it can't be the Robert. It can't be the Robert. It's got to be a Robert on the admin team, hasn't it? It's not the Robert. So, once that was confirmed that I wasn't being pranked, there was a little bit of me that thought, who's having a little bit of a game here?
Getting an email from Robert Smith.
I know. Couldn't believe it. Yeah. Couldn't believe it. No, like... alias or anything like that, you know. I'm not going to give it out what his email is, but you could defo get there, I would say, in 10 guesses.
Robert.smith1 at
Yahoo. Yeah. NTL World. Yeah. He's old school.
I had an NTL World email. That's by the by. It's quite a lineup, though, he's put together. Yourself, Bridget Christie, Jack D, Andy Hamilton, Dom Jolly, Mars Jupp, Athena Kablenu, Stuart Lee, and Dara O'Brien. That's
some gang, isn't it?
That's some gang.
I'm
fascinated. Obviously, everyone that's out front in the Royal Albert Hall going to have a great night with you guys around. What's it like in a room backstage of comedians? I'm assuming it's not the riot that we're all imagining it might be.
No, it's quite, usually as well, it's quite a high intensity, I would say. Everybody's, especially in a room like the Royal Albert Hall, it's got so much like... history, everyone's wanting to smash it.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you go to like the clubs on a weekend, we're probably all there just having a chat and a gossip. But at this one, where you're abundantly aware that Robert Smith has chosen you, you don't want to have a bad gig on that one. Do you know what
no.
I mean? So I think I'm anticipating the green room to be good vibes, but everybody will probably be in their own head beforehand, just wanting to... At the moment I've come off stage and finished it, I'll be a laugh a minute.
Would there be a collective noun for a room of comedians?
Surely it's a gaggle. Surely. I've thought about this before. I can't remember how we were chatting about it, but somebody was guessing, like, is it a parliament? I was like, no, that's too... That's too highbrow. A gaggle, I think, is good.
It's an amazing venue as well. You're not here to answer questions about the Royal Albert Hall, but is it true the roof isn't attached?
What?
I heard that the roof of the Royal Albert Hall is not attached to the building because it is so heavy.
Does it stay on?
Well...
What if there's a big gust of wind on the day?
But it's been there since the 1800s.
So it's obviously never
sits there. Yeah, it just sits there. I would say the challenge to any comedian is to raise the roof, proverbially speaking.
No, but now I'm... Well, I want to raise the roof, but I'm genuinely worried it might might have devastating consequences. So it's just sort of
sat.
Put on top, like
a giant
marzipan
wok.
On a cake.
Yeah.
Or a wok.
Or
yes,
a wok,
indeed.
Yeah.
Big wok. Wow. I've performed there once before, and it was the Royal Variety Show, and I was so nervous, I can't say I was paying much attention to the structure of the roof.
Nerves are out of the way this time.
This one, I think... you watch the footage back of this Teenage Cancer Trust gig and it'll just be me. I'll be saying my jokes, but I'll be eyeing up the roof the whole time. I can't see any any attached bit.
You've got your own UK tour starting in September called What's a Face.
Yeah.
Which appears to be, I think, quite self-deprecating as a title for someone that is, you know, Taskmaster, a league of their own, and that's just starting
well,
the list.
Well, that's very kind, but it is based off a genuine interaction that happened. It was in the summer. I'm a massive football fan. I was in Switzerland for the Women's Euros, and the really great football writer Susie Rack wrote a piece the next day that was sort of like talking about the excitement in the opening game of the tournament. She was going, you know, fans were piling into the Letzigrund Stadium to catch a glimpse of their favourite players, and occasionally you'd hear them shout, "Oh, look, it's What's Her Face," as they rushed for a photo with comedian Maisie Adam. So I was like, oh, that's sort of so indicative of where I'm at, is that I'm well known enough to be mentioned in an article where people are rushing. Yeah. I don't remember them rushing, but rushing for a photo of me. But it's not without them going, oh, look, it's What's Her Face. I also have to say thank you for getting the name right, Richard. I've done a couple of interviews on radio to plug the tour, and these people go, it's a great show title, it's really good, because it's about, you know, not quite being memorable enough. Anyway, we've got comedian Maisie Adam after the break, who's here with her new tour, What's Her Name? Which, the irony is mind-numbing there.
What's it like, actually, touring as a comedian? Because that's a lot of dates over the last few months of the year.
Yeah.
You've not left yourself much time to get started early on your Christmas shopping.
I know.
But like going into different towns every like few days and just having to rock on up, that must be a challenging life.
Yeah, but I really like that bit because it keeps you match fit. The thing is, I always do my tour shows where I'll do like 30 minutes, I think, of about crowd work at the start, and then a break, and then we'll do the main show afterwards. And I really like that 30 minutes at the start, especially because I get to chat to specific people about specific things to their town. And you can't repeat that the next day. What works in Guildford won't work in Middlesbrough. And one night you might have a front row that's a big hen party, and the next you might have a couple celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. So they're going to have completely different perspectives, energies, senses of humour. So I really like kind of chatting to everybody from the different places that I'm going, and getting a sense of those places as well, because some places you've been to a million times to gig, and some, like it's, even now, some I'm going to for the first time.
Do you find when you actually get in town like that day, that you're actually, do you ever sort of like slip something into the routine that night from something
that's
happened
I've
that day,
round.
Or do you keep like do you keep your head down?
Oh no, I always like to go for a little walk round and pick up some little like references, even if it's something that they know, that, you know, that is quite famous for them. Just an outsider's perspective of it is quite... I did a gig in a place called Whitehaven, which I'd never even heard of, but I went there, and it's on the coast of, like, Cumbria way, and I remember just going to the harbour, and their entire water was orange everywhere. And then, like, I was like, this is bizarre. So I mentioned it on stage, and then literally it became like a parish council meeting. I was like, why is your harbour orange? And they all went, oh, don't. And then they got really into all the different reasons and hypotheses that they all had as to why the heart and who's to blame. It did feel a bit like, you know, that Zoom meeting that went viral with Jackie Weaver.
It did start to feel like that. Was it orange out of interest?
I can't even remember. Well, they couldn't agree. They all had different reasons. Yeah, I love it.
You love your football, as you've already said.
Yeah.
Sports podcast of the year, Big Kick Energy. You wouldn't have like said that yourself, so it's up to me to say
Thank you. Thank you for getting that in there.
Amazing. All things women's football. I've been an Arsenal fan all my life.
Have you?
Yes. Watched Arsenal in the WSL at the Emirates, beat Spurs.
Vibes FC, as
Vibes
they're known.
Vibes FC. Proud that we're European and world champions.
Yeah, you're
just
flying.
Get that in. What's been... Obviously, the Euros... Both of them could well be an answer, but
isn't that lovely to say now? Both of them. There's two different Euros we've won now.
What's been the moment for you though that has really made you notice the growth in stature of women's football? And if the answer is the Euros, that's the Euros. But
I think it's we have a really lovely feature on the pod, which is like match reports, and it used to be when we first started, it was young girls sending in on a voice note a match report that they'd been to, and the attendant, you know, they'd say how many people were there, and it was still lovely, but it was a few thousand, and it was young girls going with their mums. And I think that's so lovely that that's happening, but what we're seeing now is it's not just about little girls and their mums going. It is little lads are going to watch. Also, grown lads are going because you can go for a tenner and have a day at the football that isn't full of sort of... and not every men's football game is full of these things, but there's things that exist in the men's game that don't happen in the women's. There's environments that are very different. And there's accessibility in terms of financial, you know, how much is a season ticket in the men's game versus how much it is in the women's is insane, really. Yeah. So I'm really, I think it's in the match reports that we get now. We've had ones from like a group of teenage boys who went together for their 15th birthday party. They went to go and watch Spurs. And you're like, that's amazing. That's really, really lovely. Because growing up, when I was watching football, it never occurred to me that I was going and watching the men's game. You know, it's just football. And I think true equality is when we're seeing that the other way around as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been one of the main differences, really, is just how diverse and accessible for everybody football is.
Are you enjoying Leeds United season this season?
Do you know what? In recent times, yes. I had a bit of a squeaky bum time at the FA Cup against Birmingham City. We're going to plumbing penalty. I don't know what it is about penalties. Just I always think the worst is going to happen. I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be all right, which... as a Leeds fan, that's as much as you can hope for.
With big tournaments, you talk about the women's Euros, double champions now.
Yeah.
Obviously, this summer we have the Men's World Cup in the States. Is that something that you would be looking forward to going across to?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, all I've heard with the Men's World Cup is the prices are insane.
Yeah.
And also, like... what was so great about Switzerland is it's such a small country. So it was so easy for us to go to this group game and then this quarterfinal, dead easy. Whereas like you've got some in Canada and then some in Mexico the next day. I mean, and Scotland fans, they're waiting till 2 a.m, I think, for a lot of their kickoffs. So I don't know about going over there, but I'll definitely be watching. I mean, I've grown up in that era of... like I can still remember as having school assemblies to watch sort of the David Beckham, Gerard Lampard era, and because there's always that hope, isn't there? Whereas that's been a massive difference of experiencing the game is with the Lionesses prior to 2022. We never went into it really going like we can win this. I mean, I'm sure they did because they're high performance athletes, but you know, as a fan, you're like, well, let's see how far we go. Whereas the men's, we've always grown up, haven't we?
Yeah.
Going like, this will be the one. We've got the best in the world, And then we every time go, oh yeah, Germany and France, and they are good actually. Italy, they're good. Yeah. Brazil, Argentina, actually. Do you go, yeah, we're good for.
We should get to the quarters.
Yeah. We're good for a Sunday league team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You obviously love your sport. I wonder whether as a comedian the Winter Olympics is just right up there. Just that, and that's
it's
not
an absolute
to,
goldmine.
That's not to like disrespect the athletes and the competitors. But I mean, some of those sports
that's
are
what I mean.
So
if anything,
weird.
It's out of like mad respect because I think you watch some of the more mainstream sports and there's so much kind of, not like red tape, but like there's so much protectiveness and there's so much kind of anticipating, you know, if you watch, like take football, for example, the moment anybody goes down and they're waving people over, they run over with the little bag, then you watch the Winter Olympics and it's just people chucking themselves down a mountain, either on skis, snowboards or on a dinner tray. Like, and they just go for it. I absolutely love it. It's like watching one big stag do, I think, just grown adults doing things where you go, when was that considered a good idea to give this a go?
Do you think it's also the altitude that does things to people as well? Because there's even non-dangerous sports.
Yeah.
that have had strange things happen. You've got cheating allegations in the curling. Then you've got the fella admitting to an affair after winning bronze in the biathlon.
It's as exciting off the slopes as it is on, isn't it?
It's absolutely crazy.
Honestly, that fella who admitted cheating on... God, it was just like red flags galore, wasn't it? Bless it. I mean, I know what he was trying to do. But yeah, as a comedian, I was watching that go, ka-ching, ka-ching.
This is very much a home time show. People in the midst of half term chaos right now, also doing their dinner and all that kind of stuff. But before we let you go, would you consider yourself to have a signature dish? What are you like when it comes to preparing food?
Well, do you know what? This is going to tie in great to what we started talking about. My signature dish is, and I believe it to be a pie, but it's up for debate as to whether or not it's a pie. My husband says it's a casserole with a pastry lid, which actually makes me feel like it's not unlike the Royal Albert Hall. It's got a lid. We don't know if it's attached. Does it really matter? As long as what's inside is good. You know what I mean?
I love the idea of a casserole with a pastry on top of it. That's amazing.
And now I have the perfect comeback for next time he says it's not really a pie. I'll go, do you know what else isn't technically all one unit? The Royal Albert Hall. But it doesn't stop them hosting some of the finest comedy nights in the world.
Which you will be at. You can get your tickets from the Teenage Cancer Trust website.
We've got to be the only people who have segued from pie to the Royal Albert Hall.
Wear it with a badge of honour.
Surely. Well, I know what I'll open with now at the gig.
Maisie, thank you so much for coming into Home
Time.
It's been great to see you.
Thank you.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.